Look at verse 17. And Jesus says, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Now that's a very important scripture, that if you don't understand what Jesus is saying, you can become an error on different sides. How many of you know there's a lot of times there's ditches on both sides of the road? You have people that say, Jesus came and he did away with the law. The Bible never says that. The Bible says that Jesus came and fulfilled the law. Then there are those people that say, Jesus didn't come to do away with the law, he came to fulfill the law. Therefore, we still have to keep the law. So you get people that are in error on this side. So we're going to look at, what does it mean that Jesus came to fulfill the law? Look at verse 18. "For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." Let me ask you, have earth and heaven passed away? But Jesus did say that nothing, it will not pass away until all is fulfilled. So we need to see, what does it mean when Jesus said it's fulfilled? Amen? Let's go. We can keep reading, but for sake of time, let's just go over to John chapter 19. John chapter 19, and let's look at verse 30. John chapter 19 and verse 30, and it says, "So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished." In other words, it is fulfilled. It is complete. What's he talking about? He's talking about the plan of redemption that was in the heart of God even before time began. What does the Bible teach? The Bible teaches death to the lawbreaker. The problem is that every single one of us are lawbreakers. That's why we need Jesus. You know? So Jesus died in our place. You have to be perfect, or death is the penalty. So we could not be perfect because of death entering the human race in Adam. So Jesus came, he was perfect, and he was the perfect sacrifice. How many of you know that the Bible, the law teaches that they needed to go find a lamb who was without spot and without blemish and sacrifice, right? And so it was that sacrifice that carried over until the next time, until the other sacrifice had to be made. But how many know it never did take away the problem? The Bible teaches in Hebrews, let's turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, let's go to verse 1. I want you to see something here concerning the law. A lot of times people have never considered what I'm sharing with you today. I don't recall ever hearing anyone minister on this. I'm sure there are. But look at the very first verse. It says, "For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come." So the law was a shadow of that which was to come. You know what a shadow is? A shadow is what is cast by an object or by an image of something. The shadow is never the substance of something. So we have a shadow right here from this post or from this column. We have a shadow in different parts of the room. If you look on the floor, you'll see a shadow. You see a shadow right here. Now, because of experience, we know that the shadow is nothing in and of itself. It's only something that is cast from something else. So if you see a shadow, if you're coming up upon a corner of a building and you see a shadow coming, you're looking at the shadow and you know that that isn't something that should get your concern. It's what is casting the shadow. If you see a gun in the hand of the shadow, you're not scared of the gun that's in the hand of the shadow. You're scared of the gun that's in the hand of the man who's casting the shadow when you get out of there. It's like a warning. Let me know what I'm talking about. So here it says that the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. So we know that the Old Testament law sacrificial system, the Bible says, was a shadow. It was pointing to what Jesus was going to do. It never got the job done because it couldn't have gotten the job done. Why? Verse 4 says, "For it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins." But how many of you know that in Jesus Christ, if we go to verse 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. That's what Jesus was saying. It is finished. He fulfilled the law's requirement of death to the lawbreaker. He died in our place. And verse 14 says, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. You know, most of us in the Christian circles, we accept the fact that Jesus fulfilled the sacrificial requirements of the law. How many of you know even people who we would consider legalistic aren't going out offering sacrifices because they believe Jesus fulfilled that? But when it comes to the other portions of the law, they don't recognize that those were also shadows of what was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So today I want to go through some different aspects of the law showing you that they were fulfilled in Jesus. Amen. Because if you don't know these things, you come across someone who's a Seventh-day Adventist and they can be very convincing if you don't know the Word. You have to keep the Sabbath. And so after today, I'm sure a lot of you already know some of these things, but you will be able and you will be armed to teach them, I do keep the Sabbath. Sabbath is rest. So we're going to look at that. We're going to look at that in more detail. Let's turn to chapter 8, Hebrews chapter 8. Look at verse 4. For if he were on earth, talking about Jesus, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things. So I want you to notice this, that the law and all of the requirements of the law were simply copies or shadows of the substance. That which is what is important for us. I want to go to now, let's turn to Leviticus chapter 19, and I'm going to show you some of the things that the law says. We're going to see how they are fulfilled, or we're going to gain some insight into them. Leviticus chapter 19, and let's look at verse 19. So Leviticus 19:19. It says, you shall keep my statutes. You know, is that still true? You know what statutes are? His ways. How many of you know Jesus said, you need to come and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart? How many of you know if we're learning from him, if we're keeping his statutes, we also are meek and lowly of heart? How many of you know that in the Christian life, there are many ministers who are demanding? They want to be served. They want to be up on the pedestal and you remain down there. That is not keeping his statutes, because that's not the way Jesus is. So let's look at this. You shall keep my statutes. You shall not let your livestock breed with another kind. Do you really think God's concerned about livestock? Or is it a type and shadow of the new covenant truth where God says, can light have fellowship with darkness? Or can an unbeliever be unequally yoked together with a believer? It's also talking about ways of thinking. Think about it. Being doubly minded is believing and unbelieving, trying to mix them together, and it doesn't work. Are you starting to see this picture here? The Bible says that the law was shadows, or it was symbolic. It was types. So it was not the substance in and of itself. It was pointing to something. Just as the sacrificial lamb was not about the lamb, it was pointing to Jesus. So this not letting your livestock mix and breed with another kind is talking about having mixed double-mindedness in essence. Look at this. You shall not sow your field with mixed seed. Do you really think that God cares that you have corn here and wheat here? Or is he talking about the message of truth, not mixing the Word of God? The Bible calls the Word, the gospel, seed. You were not born again of the corruptible seed, but the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. The Word of God is likened to seed, so you are not supposed to be having growing in your heart the seed of God's truth and the seed of the lies of this world. But how many of you know we do? Now think about this. Do you really think God was concerned that he wants, if you have a farm, you better only have corn, or you better only have wheat, or you better only have this? No. Come on, think about that. It was pointing to something. Let's go to the next portion of this verse. Nor shall a garment of mixed linen and wool come upon you. Do you really think that God is upset because we're wearing a polyester cotton blend? It's talking about a mixed lifestyle. That you believe this and you're also believing this. How many of you know, as far as the mixed seed, we can liken that to Galatians chapter 3. Let's turn there real quick. Galatians chapter 3. Let's look at the first three verses. Galatians chapter 3. Look at this. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? You see, this is a mixture coming in here. You see that? This is what the Bible's talking about. How many of you know there's a mixture sometimes in some churches of law and grace? Or there's a mixture of truth with the false. We're not supposed to have mixed seed. We're supposed to hang on to only the Word of God. A lot has been talked today about the Word, hasn't it? But how much influence are we receiving outside of the Word of God? Sometimes we're not even aware of it. Amen? God says you're blessed, but the TV says, the news anchors say, recession. I know it seems too simple. That you can't be so simple-minded that you only believe the Word of God. Well, yes, you can. Jesus was. Abraham got to the place where he was absolutely 100% convinced and persuaded that what God said he could do. And until he got to that place, there was no Isaac. Think about it. How many of you know James chapter 3? We're not going to turn there, but verses 8 through 12. You can write this reference down. You'll recognize it when I quote it. James 3, verses 8 through 12, talks about the tongue. It says, brethren, out of it comes blessings and cursings. This should not be. You start to see this mixture here. Mixed seed, mixed livestock, mixed garments. Let's look at the garment a little bit. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look at verse 20. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 20 says, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So how do you put off that old man, that old way of living, that old way of thinking? By the renewing in the spirit of your mind. That's Romans 12, chapter 2. How many of you know victory in the Christian life comes from renewing the mind? Not from casting out all these things, but renewing the mind according to the truth. You know why there seems to be generational curses? Because we think the way our parents thought. We do what our parents did, and it produces death. So if you're going into a culture, there has to be a renewing of the mind to where they are repenting. Repenting means to change your way of thinking based upon the truth. It is not about bawling and squalling and asking God to forgive your forefathers. That's not repentance. You can't find that in the Word of God. When God calls us to repent, He's calling me to repent and He's calling me to change the way I think according to the Word. And repentance takes place when we hear the truth and we say yes to that truth and we allow our heart to be changed and then our actions follow what we now believe. How many know what I'm talking about? Repentance is not what you do to change. It is believing that God says is true and allowing the truth to change you. The Bible says, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth that you know shall set you free. You're not going to set yourself free. It's the truth itself, the Word of God, that sets you free. Amen. I've seen people that have that seemed that there was a curse in operation. But when they're able to be convinced that the curse is an operation because you're doing the same things that produce the curse here, as soon as you change and believe what God says, that curse will be broken. And I've seen them do that and see the blessings of God start to work. Because as Lisa was saying, God's no respecter of persons. Amen? God's a good God. So look at this. By the renewing in the spirit of our mind, we put off the old man. Verse 24, and that you put on the new man that was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So what is this telling us? These verses, in verse 22 and in verse 24, when it says put off and when it says put on, those verbs in the Greek are what was used when you were talking about putting on a garment or taking off a garment. So you see this whole mixed fabric thing. You have Christians who have been changed on the inside, but they're still wearing the old garment. Mixed linens. Mixed clothing. Jude verse 23. There's only one chapter. Jude verse 23 says, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment that's defiled by the flesh. So what's this talking about? You're born again in the spirit, but you're still living carnally. Mixed garments. So you can't be someone who's wearing a garment that is of one fabric as a believer. It's symbolic, remember? To walk with the Lord, it's being born again is the first step. Now it's about renewing the mind according to your new nature, according to who Jesus is, according to who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you, and living according to that. Amen? The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, I think it's verse 13, verse 11, for if we live, talking to Christians, if we live according to the flesh, it produces death. But if by the Spirit we put to death the deeds of the body, we will live. So you can't put to death the deeds of the body, so to speak, by the power of the flesh. It's only by the renewing of the mind, coming to agreement with God, and it's by the Spirit that we live according to who God created us to be. Amen? So I think I explained those things a little bit. We can understand that a little bit more. But do we still need to keep the law? And if not, why not? And if yes, which ones? That's a good question. Do we still have to keep the Ten Commandments, Sean? You know, some people say no. Now think about this. See, here's where the problem comes in. Do you keep the Ten Commandments for God to accept you? No. God accepts you in Christ. But now that you're accepted, by nature, we should be keeping the Ten Commandments. In other words, should you love any other God but Him? If you have a new nature on the inside, you should not be giving your heart to more than one place. Now that doesn't make any sense to us, a lot of times, in our culture here in the USA. But you know, in other cultures, in different places where they do have a different spiritual foundation, whether it be in India or Hinduism, you know, there are Hindus that will add Jesus to what they believe, but not embrace only Jesus. See, it doesn't work that way, right? And that's that whole double-mindedness thing. It doesn't work. In order for it to work, you can't be double-minded. You have to embrace Jesus and only Jesus. Amen? And that's easier for us to come to grips with, because in our background, it was either nothing really or Jesus. You know, before I came to Christ, I wasn't serving. I mean, I was obviously from the Word of God. I was serving the devil. Didn't know it. But I mean, I wasn't actively going to a temple and making sacrifice or doing all these other things where our whole culture is centered around that style of worship. So when you come to Jesus, now your family has an issue with you, because now you're no longer participating in the old stuff we used to do as a family. Now think about that. Thanksgiving. You probably have some family who aren't believers, but you can still go to each other's house during Thanksgiving. But what if they were during their worship or during their different festivals? For you to go over there, you'd have to participate in sacrifices to demons or what have you. You wouldn't be able to go to that. You see? Can you see the problems that are rising here? Let's go to Matthew chapter 22. We're going to see which laws. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. Start in verse 34. It says, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now let me ask you a question. Do we still need to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and all our might? You know that's a commandment of God. But there'll some say, oh, we don't have to keep the commandments. Are you saying we don't have to love God? Well, yeah, we have to. See how it gets confusing. Let's go to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, starting in verse 31. It says, so when he had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, listen to this, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Now let me ask you this question. Why did Jesus say a new commandment? Hadn't God already said, love your neighbor? Why did Jesus say, a new commandment I give you? Brothers and sisters, listen carefully. This is awesome. Jesus was talking about the new birth, that he was going to live inside of them, and that he wanted us to be able to love others as he loves us. In other words, when we understand that we have been changed on the inside, we can allow Jesus to love others through us. Are you seeing this? Jesus said, a new commandment I give you. But it sounds like something has already been given. See, before, it was trying to do things in the power of the flesh, which was a failure. How many of you know even believers who are hard to love? And God says, love them. How many of you ever tried to love them by your own strength and end up failing? How many said, oh God, you said love them, so Lord, love them through me. Lord, I believe you now live on the inside of me. I believe that I had the Spirit of God living on the inside of me. And the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, all those things. Lord, love that person through me. How many of you ever done that and you felt the love of God flowing through you to that person? See, this is that new commandment he's talking about. Before, it was in your own strength, your own power. You would fail. But now he's saying, I'm giving you a new commandment because now I'm going to live inside of you. And I want you to love each other as I've loved you. In other words, let me in you love people through you. Amen. Galatians 5:14 says that circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. In other words, what you do in your flesh doesn't avail anything but faith working through love. Look at verse 15 of Galatians 6. Galatians 6:15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. You know, because we're a new creation, we have love on the inside of us. Jesus himself. And if we would focus on his love for us, faith works. How many of you know what I'm talking about? When we're convinced of God's love for us, our faith just seems to work, doesn't it? It's easy to believe God when you're persuaded about God's love for you. It's hard to believe God when you're feeling like maybe God's upset with me because I blew it here and I blew it there and I blew it here and all those things. Amen. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Look at verse 3. 1 John 2:3 says, now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. Now that used to throw me for a loop because I thought we weren't under the law. But here it says, now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. I'm going to explain this. Look at verse 4. He who says I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. See, this is not talking about, when you really study it out, it's not talking about you having to go and keep all of the things that are contained in the law. We know the sacrificial system has been fulfilled in Christ. All of the law has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. We're gonna keep looking at this. But this is talking about when we know God and when we're abiding in him, he's able to flow through us. and touch others. Let's go to another verse. You'll see this. 1 John 3, verses 23 and 24. Look at this. And this is his commandment. So here's his commandment. That we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. So do we still need to believe on Jesus? Yes. And are we still supposed to love each other? Yes, but not by our own strength, not with our own power. Now he, verse 24, now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given. You know, it's absolutely impossible to obey God in our strength. It's impossible. We cannot love our brother the way God told us to love our brother in our strength, in our abilities. But when we abide in him, he's enabled to live through us. And this is how we know that we know him. Because we're loving our brother. Because Jesus is able to flow through us and touch our brother and love our brother and love this world. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Right? It's not that we are trying to do this in our strength, you'll fail. But because we know him, because we abide in him, because this is eternal life, that we may know him, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he sent, we're able to love our brothers and the people in this world. Amen? Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I want you to notice this. This is neat. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. It says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, or you could say our flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Look at this. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Notice that. That the righteous requirement of the law is fulfilled in us, not by us. Are you seeing the difference here? It is Jesus who fulfilled the law. He said, it is finished. Where does Jesus now live? In us. So when we're abiding in him, Jesus is able to continue his ministry, his life, his love through us to others. But notice, it doesn't come by walking in the flesh. Folks, in this context, it's not talking about going out and sinning. It's talking about living according to your own strength. And will always fail. So it is Jesus in us who fulfills the commandments when we're abiding in him. We're able to love God. We're able to love each other. Amen? The thing is coming into agreement with God and believing him and allowing him to do those things. That is our job. Now, what about circumcision? Unclean food or keeping the Sabbath? Here we're going to get into this. Amen? This is really fun. Let's go to Genesis chapter 17. Did you know, back in Galatians, we don't have this problem today, but how many of you know back in Galatians and in Acts chapter 15, they were going around, the people were coming out of Jerusalem and going to all the Gentiles and saying, you have to keep the law of Moses and be circumcised in order to be saved. Right? And where were they getting this? You know, they didn't come up with this. They came up with this from God's Word. They didn't understand that it was fulfilled. Let's look at this. Genesis chapter 17. Genesis 17. Let's look at verse 9. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, throughout their generations. So how long? Throughout. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. And you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. Now go down to verse 13. He who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. How long? Everlasting. So you see, these Jews, we can't knock them. They didn't understand. They said, hey, this is an everlasting covenant. You have to be circumcised. God said that. Listen. Look at verse 14. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. So if you're not circumcised, you don't have a covenant with God. Is that still true? The answer is yes. We still must be circumcised. There they go. In New Covenant, it's circumcisions of the heart. When you believe in Jesus, you are circumcised, not with the circumcision that's made with hands, but of the Spirit. Amen? So you guys are ahead of yourself. Now you're seeing it's fulfilled. We don't have to be physically circumcised. That was just a symbolic of the heart circumcision that would come when Jesus came, died for us, was buried for us, and was resurrected for us, and is now seated at the right hand of God. Let's look at this. We'll look at a verse. Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. Romans chapter 2, verse 28 through 29. It says, "For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor a circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is the Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God." Amen. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 16. So when someone says, "Do you believe you still must be circumcised?" Say yes. And then show them what you mean. See, if you're not circumcised, it means you're not born again. Does that mean? So you're without covenant, aren't you? But when you're born again, you're with covenant. It has nothing to do with what took place in your flesh, is what took place in your heart. So let's go to Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus chapter 16. Let's go to verse 31. It says, "It is a Sabbath for you, a solemn rest for you, and you shall afflict your souls. It is a statute forever." So the Sabbath is a statute forever. Amen? That's why Seventh-day Adventists will come up and they'll bring these verses. And they'll say, "See, it is a statute forever." What they don't understand again is that the Sabbath has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The Sabbath day was a day of rest where you cease from work, and in Jesus Christ, He is our rest, and we cease from work. So the Sabbath was not a day, it's a person. Just like we learned in the first session. Today is the day. This has been fulfilled in your hearing. Amen? Matthew 11:29, Jesus says something, and He talks about Himself. Matthew 11:29. I know we're going through a lot of scriptures this session. There's only one way to do this. That's to go to the Word. Matthew 11:29, Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Sabbath is symbolic of rest. If you're not in rest, even if you keep the Sabbath day, you are not keeping the Sabbath. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not a literal day. It's a person. Hebrews chapter 4. Verses 1 through 10. We're not going to go there because we're going on. I want to go ahead and finish this. But in Hebrews, you can write this down in your notes. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. Lisa hit on this a little bit. But it's talking about a day. There remains a day for the people of God. See? There remains, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest. Lest any of you fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Notice this. How do you come short of it? For indeed the gospel was preached. So the gospel produces rest. You see that? Not a day, but the gospel. Not Saturday, but Jesus produces rest. Amen? So if you have Jesus living on the inside of in your heart, are you keeping the Sabbath? Yes. Forever. I will be with him forever. We will rule and reign with him forever and ever and ever. We will be at rest forever and ever and ever. Amen. I could teach more on this portion, but we need to go ahead and move on. Mark chapter 2, verse 22, 27 through 28. We're not going to turn there. But Jesus said, "I am the Lord of the Sabbath." The Sabbath was not made for man, or man was not made for the Sabbath, but Sabbath was made for man. Talk about rest. Let's look at unclean animals. Can we eat bacon? Sausage? Why? God said we couldn't. Can we eat shrimp? He said no. Is God concerned about pork chops? Or is it symbolic again? I'm telling you, it's symbolic. What is the lifestyle of a pig? You wash it. As soon as you take the rope off, right back to the mud. Can you see? This is a lifestyle that God's talking about. Not pork chops. Not a BLT or bacon on your cheeseburger. Amen. And I'll show you this. Let's go to Acts chapter 11. God used animals as symbolism towards those Gentile peoples who did not have a covenant with God until Jesus came and they were able to believe. Acts chapter 11, we don't have time to read the whole story, but if you read Acts chapter 11, verses 1 through 18, Peter is retelling the story about when he saw the vision and a sheet came down because, brothers and sisters, the Jews did not believe that God was going to receive the Gentiles. God had to give a special revelation to Paul, a Peter, and a sheet came down, and on that sheet he saw all of these animals, unclean animals, and God said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." So we see it's symbolic, because Peter said, "Oh no, I will not eat anything uncommon. Nothing uncommon or unclean has ever entered my mouth." And what did God say? Whatever, look at this, verse 9, Acts chapter 11. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. Have you been cleansed in Jesus Christ? We who once did not have a covenant with God. You know, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Do you have that? Watch this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. Look at this. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh. You see that? Once Gentiles. God doesn't look at you as a Gentile no more. You know what Gentile means? Without covenant. So don't call yourself a Gentile believer. That's a lie. You're a believer. How can you be a without covenant, covenant believer? So you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the what? Blood of Jesus. So pork, shrimp, lobster, all that stuff, God said, don't touch that. That was all symbolic of Gentiles. You know, the Jews weren't even supposed to mix with Gentiles. That's why they got mad at Peter. Read Acts chapter 11. They got mad at Peter and said, you went in to eat with Gentiles. So Peter had to tell them this story, that God had received them. They got born again. They got the, guys, I'm sorry to say this, they didn't get a different Holy Spirit. They got the same Holy Spirit we got. And look at verse 18. They were shocked. These Jewish believers were shocked. And verse 18 of Acts chapter 11 says, when they heard these things, they became silent and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. They didn't expect God to receive the Gentiles. They thought salvation was only for them. Look at Mark chapter 7. Mark 7. Go to verse 18. Mark 7, verse 18. So he said to them, are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him? So why do people say don't eat pork? Because it's an unclean animal. What did Jesus say? Whatever enters a man from the outside cannot defile him. Verse 19. Because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach. And is eliminated, thus purifying how many foods? So the lifestyle of the pig is talking about a heart condition of those who don't know God. It only goes to filth. Go to verse 20. And he said, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. Not whether you eat bacon on your hamburger, but what is coming out of your mouth. Look at verse 21. From within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, and murders. Verse 22. Thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. So it's not whether or not you eat unclean animals that makes you unclean. That was just symbolic. The true problem is the heart. You know, there's a lot of people that go to church on Saturday and don't eat pork, and they're as mean as a snake. There's a lot more stuff that we could share. How many of you know in, I think it's Romans chapter 14, it says, one man esteems one day higher than another, Another man esteems every day alike. Let each one be convinced in himself. Let me tell you, if you go to church on Saturday, that's fine. I've gone to church on Saturday, but not for the purpose of keeping the Sabbath, but simply because that was the day they had their service. I've been to church every day of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and I've seen God touch people, heal people, bless people every day. So if someone says, do you still keep the Sabbath? Absolutely. Do you not eat unclean meats? Absolutely. But not talking about literal food. But I'm not feeding on the filth of this world. Amen. That's what it's talking about. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. It says, be separate. Come out from among them. Is God telling us to separate ourselves from Gentiles? Talking about unbelievers, not us. Is God telling us to separate ourselves from them and not go and minister to them? No. Saying, having these precious promises, beloved, 2 Corinthians 7:1, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And look, what is that talking about? Remember Lot? Remember the story of Lot and Peter? Where it says, Lot vexed his righteous soul day by day, hearing and seeing their lawless deeds in Sodom. Remember that verse? Let's go there real quick to make sure you have this reference. Let me get it for you real quick. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 says, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. I want you to notice it said righteous Lot. How are you righteous? By believing. Lot obviously believed what Abraham told him. But it said that he was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. Verse 8, for that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. So we're not supposed to feed on the filth of this world. We're not supposed to eat unclean food. Are you starting to see the symbolism here? If you go out there and you hang out with the world and you go out there and you get set free and you get born again, you get set free and you tell yourself, I'm going back to the bars so I can witness to the strippers. You're probably setting yourself up for failure. How many know what I'm talking about? Because you're going to be seeing and hearing all of that stuff and it's going to be influencing you in the wrong way. And then that's going to enter your heart. Then that's going to come out of your heart. It's not talking about literal bacon and pork chops and that kind of thing and shrimp and lobster. It's talking about this kind of stuff. It's talking about this kind of influence. So in Christ Jesus, do you not eat unclean stuff? Yep, absolutely. I try to be careful what I eat spiritually, soulishly. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You don't want to feed on the wrong stuff. Feed on the right stuff. Whatever goes in will come out. How many of you ever worked with unbelievers and they're cursing all the time? Next thing you know, it's starting to influence you. You say, whoa, it's not what I want. Amen. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2 and we'll finish here. This is going to tie it all up. Colossians chapter 2. Let's look at verse 11. It says, in him you were also circumcised and with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So how many of you are circumcised? So how many of you believe you must be circumcised? Are you seeing this? Isn't this awesome?
It's awesome.
So in Christ, we do fulfill the law.
Amen.
But not by the flesh, but by the Spirit. By Jesus in us. Those who do not walk according to the flesh, the righteous requirement, Romans 8:4, is fulfilled in us. Jesus himself is that righteous requirement of the law. Look at verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. 13. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, talking about before you were born again, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Verse 14. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. In other words, we couldn't do it. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. In other words, he did it. He fulfilled it. And where does the one who fulfilled it live now? In us. Amen. Verse 15. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. How many of you know the devil thought he won at the cross, only to find out he was exposed at the cross? I love that. Verse 16. So let no one, watch this, so let no one judge you in food, in other words, what you eat,
hallelujah,
or in drink. Now, I'm not going to go there. I don't want to go there. But you know what? The Bible doesn't say, it says you shouldn't be given to much wine, and drunkenness is the problem. Now, I personally don't drink because I don't want to. But you know what? I know a lot of people, a lot of believers in different nations who have wine with their meal. I've never seen them drunk. And guess what? That's not sin. Let's move on. Or regarding a festival. No, sorry. Verse 16. Or regarding a festival. What is that? A festival is a yearly observance that God commanded his people. You know, all of the festivals pointed to what Jesus would fulfill and what is yet to be fulfilled. There's still another one that's about to fulfill, and that's when he returns the second time. Okay? Or a new moon. What's that? Monthly observances. Or Sabbaths. That is weekly observances. So Paul is saying, let no one judge you what you eat or whether or not you're keeping the yearly, monthly, or weekly observances. Go to verse 17. Why is that? Because those are all shadows of things to come, but the substance is who? Christ. You don't need to be worried about whether or not you're keeping the Sabbath. You need to be worried about whether or not the Sabbath lives in you. Circumcision nor uncircumcision, or Sabbaths or no Sabbaths, or BLTs, pork chops or no pork chops, avails nothing but a new creation. Verse 18. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Verse 19. And not holding fast to the head. Do you know when you're trying to run off and live your life based upon outward observances, you're not holding fast to the head? You're looking to those things. So, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Verse 20. Therefore, if you died with Christ, in other words, you're born again, from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? Verse 21. Do not touch. Do not taste. That's talking about don't eat that. Do not handle. Verse 22. Which all concern things which perish with the using according to the commandments and doctrines of men. But guess what? God gave those commandments and doctrines. But they're all fulfilled in Christ, who now lives on the inside of us. So if we are now going back and teaching people to observe regulations, we are now preaching a doctrine of men, because in Christ they're now fulfilled, but you're saying it's not fulfilled, you still have to fulfill them. You're now preaching a doctrine and commandment of men because they're all fulfilled in Jesus. You do not understand the whole purpose of the law and all those things. The law was fulfilled in Christ. They're all types and shadows. And so now we know, do you believe in circumcision? Absolutely. Circumcision of the heart. Do you believe you have to keep the Sabbath? Absolutely. Jesus is my Sabbath. He's my rest right here. Do you believe you can't eat pork chops? Well, you believe you shouldn't eat unclean things? Absolutely. We shouldn't let the influence of this world influence our heart. But it's not talking about pork chops a day or fleshly circumcision. It's talking about that which only the Spirit of God can do, and He lives in you. Amen. So go to verse 23. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion. It looks good. It sounds good. Wow, you mean to tell me if I go to church on Saturday and don't eat pork chops but eat nuts, God's pleased with me? That's right. You know, that takes no faith. You believe God's pleased with you instead of pleased with Jesus in you. So false humility, notice that it's false humility, and neglect of the body, which are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. You know, people who try to keep the Sabbath and all the stuff, sometimes they're the meanest, most carnal people that you'll meet. Why? Because you cannot overcome the flesh by the flesh, you overcome the flesh by the Spirit who now lives on the inside of you. And victory in the Christian life only comes one way, and that is through abiding in Him and knowing Him and allowing Jesus to live His finished life through you. Amen. Amen. So do you still have to keep the law? You have to keep Christ. Have Christ. He is the fulfillment of the law. Amen. Amen. So I don't know about you, but I like that. To understand those things. So I no longer, what about the commandment here? Well, now we know what it's talking about. When we know Him, we keep His commandments. Why? Jesus lives through us. Amen.